Welcome to Rethink, a podcast focused on the future of skilled nursing. I'm Amy Stulick, reporter with Skilled Nursing News. I'm joined for this episode by industry veteran Bernie McGinnis, CEO of Journey Skilled Nursing. Indiana-based Journey has been picking up steam, adding properties since its inception last March. Currently, Journey operates 22 facilities across 6 states, with plans to add more this spring. Before we get to that conversation, I'd like to highlight an upcoming event later this year. Skilled Nursing News 2025 Rethink Conference will take place between August 18th and 20th in Chicago. At this premier forum, long-term care executives and professionals discuss trends, issues, and the future of the skilled nursing industry. Visit skillednursingnews.com/snn-live-event/rethink to find out more. And now, my conversation with Bernie McGinnis. All right. Well, thanks so much, Bernie, for joining us. So first question for you, we know that Journey has been really picking up steam and adding properties since its inception last March. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about Journey's journey up until this point.
Yeah, it's been an exciting 2024 heading into 2025. We've had the opportunity to look at defining Journey, the type of culture that we want as an organization, the type of markets that we want to pursue. We've had the opportunity to look at a multitude of different properties, different opportunities to launch Journey with. Really remain focused on our vision to change the world one heart at a time and focus on that culture that starts with the care team member. We believe that great care is given right there at the bedside. And simply put, we just think happy staff give better care. So, you know, we've been able to look at defining our culture over this last year.
Wonderful. And then let's review Journey's portfolio. It's up to 22 properties, right, across 6 states?
Yeah, pretty exciting. We look at that as a really nice beginning to our regional cluster model. We're trying to build out regions in which we can have efficiency and shared staffing resources, relationships with those managed care organizations, really become experts at state-operated Medicaid systems, understand the reimbursement there, rehab services, vendor alignment, you name it. We think the regional cluster model allows us that opportunity to gain a lot of efficiencies. So for us, you know, Georgia has been a large growth for us. We're at 9 facilities throughout Georgia. We have 6 locations in Kentucky. Those are our 2 largest regional cluster markets. You can get to 8 of the 9 facilities in Georgia within about 90 minutes of each other. So we've got a lot of shared staff, shared referral sources, managed care organizations, vendor relationships that we can maximize.
Wonderful. Yeah, I like what you had to say about Medicaid in different states and really familiarizing yourself with that.
Absolutely. We think that is really important to be a great local operator and understand reimbursement at that state level. It's, you know, 80%, 75% of your average daily census. And so really becoming experts and understanding those reimbursement systems, and they vary across those state lines. So really understanding that, making sure that you have the resources available to help your facilities capture the amazing care that they're providing.
Absolutely. And then what's next for Journey this year? How will you folks evolve to really meet the moment?
Yeah, I think right now we're very focused on the 22 locations and stabilization. You know, we've got some goals set up for these locations, some performance put together. So now it's about delivering those promises. I think the first half this year, you may see a small acquisition of maybe two properties, come on and join the family here this spring. But, you know, we'll be active and looking at the right opportunities to continue to fill out our regional cluster model and bring efficiencies and value add-ons to the Journey family. But we're going to focus on the basics right now: staffing, workforce development, quality. A lot of our initial facilities are heavy regulatory lifts, quality outcomes. We need to change some reputation, change some culture, have some better survey compliance, and then put some investment back into the facilities in which we have. We have a lot of construction and remodel projects that are starting in 2025, ongoing, and would like to see those kind of get to the finish line this year, that reinvestment into the buildings and the reinvestment of some of the technology as well that we're putting into the facilities. So you're going to see a lot of stabilization and delivering of the promises we made to the local communities, to the care team members, to the building leadership that has joined Journey over the last year.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty rare, having new builds in the skilled nursing space. It's exciting.
Yeah, well, a lot of our investment from a capital and construction standpoint is really a remodel of an existing acquisition. But some significant investment in defining what we call entry points, whether it's creation of a defined short-term rehabilitation unit, a respiratory unit, a memory care unit, or just remodeling the dining room in a facility, investing and making sure that every resident has access to an electric bed versus a crank bed. Those types of investments into the building from a capital standpoint.
Absolutely. And then shifting from brick and mortar, let's talk a little bit about building the Journey team. How have you gone about picking key leadership positions and, you know, really any staffing initiatives or wraparound services that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, this is the part that gets me really excited, is the leadership team here at Journey. Really, when you look at how we've grown the organization, it is humbling to see the leaders that believe in the mission, they believe in the vision of changing that world one heart at a time, that believe in the culture that we're creating to focus on the care team members, and they take that leap of faith to join a startup organization. We've been able to find key leaders from the Midwest and Southeast that get excited about this culture. They have the resume, they have the years of experience in this space, and they're looking to be a part of something special. Our chief nursing officer was recommended from a couple vendors that I knew in the space, and able to meet with her and just got so excited about her passion for nursing and for quality care and outcomes and the amount of resources that we want to put towards our clinical outcomes, our quality measures, the systems, the human resources, the amount of nurse consultants that we can find, or our VP of clinical and our regional team down in Georgia. I went down to Georgia over a year ago and met some of these leaders from very established organizations throughout the state of Georgia who were so passionate about quality care and about the residents and making a difference. And to stay in touch with them and see them actually join the Journey family, and the impact that their leadership and their big smiles and their huge laughs and their personalities in the buildings make upon our care team members, they make upon our residents, the families. It's really humbling. And then you think about the core group of people that have joined Journey that I've had the pleasure to know and work alongside in different capacity for the last 20, 25 years. And for those people to join me sometimes in the third or fourth organization we've had the opportunity to work together, or the second, to see that they put their faith in what we're building here, the team we're building, the leadership, the vision that we have, and that they entrust really the safety and security of their family and their own careers It is an overwhelming responsibility. It is humbling. It is one we as ownership and leadership never take for granted. But it's also super exciting to see a group of people get together and are so excited for long-term care. And then you ask about wraparound services we're excited about. We're excited about the Journey Advantage. We just are, from a care team member standpoint. You know, we've taken on 22 buildings. As you mentioned, of the 22 buildings, 20 of the 22 buildings used at least 30% agency at the time of acquisition. And as of today, we have one facility currently in agency usage that will be out by the end of the month. Journey should be agency free by the end of the first quarter. And we believe that's a commitment and a belief in the Journey Advantage, whether it is a focus on implementation of some pay strategies with pay cycles, daily pay implementation, perfect attendance bonuses, quarterly raises, extra wraparound services and perks, affordable health care, telehealth benefits, or our newly rolled out program, the Advantage Connect, and free cell phones for all full-time care team members. These types of things, they speak to one portion, or they maybe one of these items speak to that care team member, or maybe all of them speak to a care team member. But we do think that we give a toolbox to each of our local communities to be able to go out and not only just attract staff, but our goal is to attract the best staff in that local area. Find the best nurse, the best CNA, the best director of nursing, and find those people who want a home and have the resources and tools to not just go out and do their job, but do a great job, exceed expectations, deliver our promises, and really, really just be empowered to celebrate everything that we have to offer here at Journey. So we get real passionate about the Journey Advantage, and we have more and more items that we're going to continue to roll out. But I think the proof is in the results. And when you can take on buildings that have been in agency usage for 3 years and exit agency in 3 months, I think that it speaks to the local community and it's making a difference.
Let's back it up a little bit. I'm really curious about, starting a brand new nursing home operating business right now from the ground up. You know, how rare is that? Especially since the sector is known for slim margins and tight regulation. And it's also been dealing with staffing shortages exacerbated by the pandemic as well.
Yeah. To be honest, it can be really overwhelming and scary to go out on your own and launch from scratch. There's a lot of opportunities for existing organizations looking for leadership roles to go out, kind of bet on yourself and your leadership team for the things that, been able to learn and our ownership team has learned from being in this profession over the years. And go out and kind of bet on yourself. Take those relationships, find the opportunities. And, I think you have to have a passion for it. You're not just starting a nursing home company, a post-acute care company, if you're not passionate about delivering great care. This is all I've done since I was 19. This is my life. I'm passionate about doing this. You have to be mission and vision driven. And that's what Journey is at our core, is we never forget our vision statement, our mission to take outstanding care of the residents that we're honored to serve. And that's really why we started this organization, is to live out that mission and vision, to do long-term care in a unique way, we think a right way, that's really focused on delivering happy care, great care to the residents, to their families, investing in older facilities, becoming a part of the local healthcare community. We do believe when you deliver great care and outcomes that you'll have some financial successes behind it. The margins are very slim. The workforce challenges, they're real. We hope that the Journey Advantage tackles that. We hope that a cluster market and regional efficiencies allow us the ability to develop real relationships with referral sources, see certain opportunities where we can increase skilled mix, some premium payer types that can help with financial responsibility, or becoming a great expert at capturing care at state Medicaid reimbursement, so that we can, you know, find some sort of margin, because there are no mission statements ever delivered without a margin. So we, you know, and the focus on the regulation. The regulations are tough. The amount of paperwork, the redundancy, it is tough out there. So if you're starting a nursing home company because you think it's a way to go become super profitable, or you want to start a business for, you know, multitude of reasons, I think right now you have to be mission and vision driven. You have to be focused on care, and you have to have a passion for this profession.
Thanks, Bernie. And prior to starting Journey, you served as CEO at another Indiana operator. What lessons did you bring with you from your time there?
Oh, so many. What an awesome experience to work with great people. Had the opportunity to be a founding CEO on behalf of an owner, and you know, got to make some mistakes, right? And learn from those mistakes, understanding key hiring, timing of key positions, some overhiring strategies as you're in growth mode, right? Those key initiatives that you really can't waver from as you're focused on building out an organization. You know, connecting with some great vendors, looking at contracting, just the items that you learn in contracting, pricing, fair market. What is market here? What are terms that we can get? Understanding the difficulties during that first year of post change of ownership and transition and cash flow. And then also understanding the bandwidth that your organization can take on at any given time. And understanding that we're all human and our right. whole team has a bandwidth that they can absorb. So understanding, how do we keep that culture? How do we celebrate those successes? But how do we set ourselves up so that we can have those successes and not stretch ourselves so thin that we're setting ourselves up for failure? So there's been so many lessons that I've learned from that opportunity. It was a great 5 years, and there'd be no Journey without any of the opportunities that I've had over the last 28 years, including that first opportunity as CEO.
Absolutely. And I want to shift to some more general and topical questions related to the skilled nursing industry. I'm really curious what your take is on the nursing home sector, especially a couple months into 2025.
I think right now, my take is the regulatory environment. It's all over the place. Different states are so far behind. They're catching up. The regulatory environment is just so punitive. There's no collaboration. It is difficult out there. The communication right now is difficult with regulators, and the expectation and burden upon operators, the health facility administrator, that licensed nursing home administrator, that DON, that's a stressful role. And the regulations right now are really difficult. I think the other piece that's out there is the managed care penetration, managed Medicaid in different states, the launch of that, the transition over, your Medicare replacement, contracting. And then the burden that puts upon cash flow as well, prior auths, paperwork, concurrent views. It's a lot to manage that managed care environment. And then to start this year, also just workforce. Workforce, workforce, workforce. I don't think that's changing. Mm-hmm. How do you get creative? How do you not just throw up your hands to it, but how do you really tackle that workforce? How do you work to engage your current care team, retain that excellent talent, attract the right talent into your organization. And as a profession, how do we attract more talent into our industry, into our profession? People who have that heart, who want to answer the call to care and join this amazing profession that has brought me so much joy over the last three decades, and find the people who are here for quality outcome, who are passion driven, who are mission and vision driven, and attract more and more key leaders into our segment.
Absolutely. And Bernie, you know, I got to ask about the federal staffing mandate. You know, it's expected, I've heard from multiple people, it's expected to be dropped by the Trump administration. And do you expect the same? And how has Journey been preparing if it will be implemented?
Yeah, we hear the same, the Mar-a-Lago promise. We believe that, you know, the staffing mandate at its core right now just doesn't work. You can't just mandate staff that aren't there. You can't mandate staff that aren't there without appropriate funding. Great operators want to provide a lot of staff because we want quality outcomes, but we want to find that staff. We want that staff to be trained appropriately, and we need the resources to be able to pay, train, attract, and retain that staff. So we believe that the staffing mandate, we're hopeful that the current administration will overturn the staffing mandate in its current state. You know, for us, we look at our forecasting for 2025 when we're looking at each facility on a facility by facility basis, looking at each unit, each shift, the acuity, the specialty units, and ensuring that we have enough staff to meet the needs of those residents, that we're being responsible at that. We're totaling up our hours per patient day, including the nursing administration. We're looking at, you know, some combined roles, different items that we can do. We're trying to manage the drop between Monday through Friday to weekend staffing, all through some forecasting tools that we do, that we sit down with each executive director, every director of nursing, and walk through their facility unit by unit, shift by shift, to really ensure that we have the staff in place to meet the needs of the residents that we have asked to serve and been so honored to have the opportunity to serve.
And then a 5-star rating system question for you. I'm curious how Journey has been preparing to meet new quality measures. There were 4 due to launch this year: the discharge function score, percentage of residents needing help with activities of daily living, as well as percentage of residents' ability to walk independently, and percentage of residents with pressure ulcers.
Yeah, we've really started that process through education. We think we have to start by educating our key leaders on these 4 measures. What are key drivers? What section of the MDS is coded that is driving these function scores, right? We need to educate on the very basics. And then we put in daily interdisciplinary team reviews. We have a process in there for daily pathway reviews in which we are looking at the quality outcomes. We're looking at everyone in an assessment reference period. We're evaluating their care plan needs, ensuring that we have the documentation, whether it's from the CNAs through our electronic medical record, or the nurses, the nurse practitioners, physician extenders, the ICD-10 codes. Are we being consistent? And we have to educate on GG. We have to educate on coding. We have to educate on capturing care. And then we have to really focus on compliance with that documentation, especially during those reference periods where the documentation impacts the coding on the MDS. So we've started that process with a focus on education. It was part of forecasting meetings. It's been a program that we've rolled out that is kind of an add-on to our clinical meeting that takes place with our interdisciplinary team each and every day.
Mm-hmm. And then let's shift to a financial question. You know, given Journey's recent acquisitions, I would love for you to share some insights on the financial landscape for the skilled nursing sector and really how it's shaping up in 2025 and beyond.
Well, I really hope to see more and more movement on interest rates and the lending environment compared to 4 or 5 years ago to this last year. It's much more difficult. The dollar has a lot more cost to it to be able to go borrow. The lenders are a little bit more hesitant on our space. Loan to value is less than what it may have been. But really, from my standpoint, once we're through and we find the right deal and we find the right lending partner, and we have found some awesome partners as we've launched Journey that just so thankful for, whether it's with access to working capital or access to CapEx or just deal structure. It's this financial pressure of the change of ownership in certain states and the delays within tie-in notices or the ability to bill Medicaid or the loss of managed care contracts and getting back in network through a change of ownership process. That is a real financial strain as we're launching or as you're growing, especially on a new organization, is cash flow. Actual dollars, not just the P&L and what we're accruing, but the actual cash dollars that are able to be collected versus a holdup of billing Medicaid for 6 months in a new state or not getting tie-in notices back on Medicare for another 6 to 8 months, and then access to managed care contracts and the ability to access those covered lives and be able to bill for that. So the financial constraints of change of ownership right now is really, really difficult as we merge. And I'm not sure I understand why we want it to be so difficult on a new operator when most facilities that are transacting or opportunities that I see right now, are the transaction's usually a positive. A change of ownership is a fresh breath of air for that facility. There's new pay standards. There's usually a capital investment. A lot of times we're seeing one-star facilities that are struggling, needing some new leadership, needing to join a group that has grown in that local market that might have more shared staffing and efficiencies. So the change of ownership process right now, I think, especially in certain states, really puts a financial pressure on an organization. That really stands out to me right now.
And then, you know, we did talk about the Trump administration and, you know, the possibility of the federal staffing mandate being rescinded. How do you think overall the Trump administration will reshape the nursing home industry? In the first couple of weeks, there has been discussion of cutting Medicaid funding, attempts at a funding freeze, and communications halted with CMS in the first few weeks in office.
Yeah, the communication right now, I think, is also a frustration when it looks to change of ownership, communication with outside agencies, you know, the communication within those state-specific portals. So we do hope to see that communication and that review of the process opens up a little bit and doesn't cause, I think, unwanted red tape or delays in processes. The last time we saw this administration, we found it fairly favorable as a profession, as a sector. There were some regulations, a real focus under the last CMS director for more patient care, less paperwork, less regulation. I think a little bit more feedback and openness to hear directly from the sector. So I remain optimistic that we'll see that again over the next 4 years. The cutting of Medicaid funding, I think we've seen in certain states, that's going to be really hard to do to the population in which we are serving, that ever-growing senior population, 75 and older, 85 and older. it's going to be hard to cut funding when the state's population above 75 continues to grow. Where you're looking at are maybe, you know, misuse or overgrowth of different Medicaid programs within a state. I think they're really focused on. But if you're a high quality provider and you're taking care of the vulnerable, the sick, the aged, 75, 85, 95 years old, the former teacher, the former fireman, the former nursing home administrator in that local community, we think there's always a need for that. And we are hopeful that we'll have open dialogue with the current administration, much like we did or had hoped to during the last 4 years, and a real focus from the regulatory bodies on making sure timely responses, communication, and let's focus on resident care versus unnecessary paperwork.
And then a couple forward-looking questions for you. How crucial do you feel technology integration will be in the coming years? And are there any specific platforms that Journey is using?
Oh, I think the embracing of technology is key for our profession, for our facilities, and for Journey as we grow. We've already started to pilot some AI technology that scrapes our electronic medical record and really highlights residents most at risk for rehospitalizations, gets that information into the hands of our medical directors, our nurse practitioners, our DONs, nurse management team on a daily basis, and says why, you know, here's, you know, no bowel movement, no eating, a new medication, whatever it may be, is going on with the resident so that we can really focus on delivering high quality care, adjusting the care plan, and be proactive in the care approach. We're using some AI technology even on the front end to standardize electronic referrals from different referral sources and the different systems that the hospital use to be able to standardize all those papers, whether it's 150 papers coming from the hospital or 35, into a standard 4-page assessment that allows us to look at each referral with the key elements that we want in a very quick way, look at our clinical capabilities, verify financials. So we're looking at a lot of different technology platforms that allow us the opportunity to use the care team that we have, ensure that they're very efficient. And, you know, we look at a lot of different things where we outsource different technology as well on the clinical side to be predictive and proactive. I think there's a lot of data there. And what we're trying to do is use technology to help our teams be proactive, to be able to look at your quality measures in real time going into that quarter versus waiting for a care compare update. Be able to do predictive analytics on your PBJ and your staffing in real time. Be able to look at your state reimbursement, whether it's with CMI Connect, in real time so that we can, you know, really take a look at that using the partners that we have. And then also, you know, taking that role of the old nurse manager who went through all the charts and looked at all the changes of condition and the residents and new admission reviews and the things that took up so many hours, I think, of what we would call auditing charts to bring information forward. And now we have technology and partners that are bringing us those audits on a daily basis by 3 a.m. and allowing our nurse managers not to be auditors, but to be problem solvers, to be out there following up, to be nurses, to communicate with the physicians, the physician extenders, to talk to the families, to go connect with that resident, do an assessment, figure out what is going on, and help us be proactive in our care approach.
And Bernie, before I let you go, is there anything else that you think operators or government officials, even the public, should rethink about the skilled nursing industry?
I think the public, go tour, go meet the leader of the local facility. See where their head's at, see where their heart's at, meet the staff. That's such a valuable experience when you're looking at finding a long-term care facility for your loved one, that you can't find on a Google review or on Care Compare as you can when you can sit down and walk around a facility and see the staff and meet the staff, hear the stories of the activity director who's worked in the same facility for 44 years, or that cook who's been there for 37 years and whose son is now the evening cook. These are real stories of people I've got to meet over the last year. But for me, my real passion right now from an industry standpoint, a government, public, regulatory sector, is how are we going to look at helping a collaborative approach to improving care through the regulatory environment? And what are we going to do with the backlog of surveyors? Most states are short on surveyors, so therefore they're behind on catching up on annual surveys. Annual surveys, survey compliance, and managing timelines are tied to our 5-star. It's tied to our value base. It's tied to our contracting. It's tied to our reputation in the community. And some of these facilities haven't had a survey in 3 to 5 years. So what are we going to do to help these different survey agencies be able to comply? I've heard, CMS ask, well, we really want to understand how do we identify who's a bad actor? Where, how do we get more transparency? I think we have systems in place. The self-reportable incident, the state reportables, facility reportable instance, depends on what state you're in, what they call it. But that system is there. Every operator, every state has those regulations. They're reporting an incident, an unusual occurrence. They're telling you, hey, here's what it is. Here's our investigation. There's a follow-up that's done. And within that follow-up, there's a plan of correction. Here's what we did to ensure it doesn't happen again. Or, hey, we looked into it. Nothing really happened. Or we're going to educate the staff here. We're going to audit these charts here. We're going to put this new system in place. I just would like to see self-reportable incidents go to more of a triage nurse, quit being turned over into complaint surveys, which I think suck up a lot of time and resources of state agencies, and then take those plans of correction on facility reportable incidents and make that a part of the next annual. Make sure that that facility did follow through on changing out the door locks on D Hall, or make sure that they did educate all the staff on this or that, or that they did roll out a new grievance process. Those are things you could catch on annual and get facilities back online with timely surveys. And then once we're in a survey, the timely management of survey timelines, working with the facility to approve plans of correction, get back in substantial compliance on first revisit, or the opportunity to get back in compliance on a second revisit versus sitting in denial of payment for new admissions for 2 months. We need to help the survey agencies get there. And I think right now, the number of self-reportable incidents being turned into complaint numbers is really backlogging the system. So that's something, if you can't tell, I'm pretty passionate about. I think something has to give here. And to me, this is so logical. We track so much in the MDS, right? I mean, we track so much. Everybody has the same MDS that we're turning in every quarter on every resident in the country with the same data that we can validate how we're coding this item. We need to get more to data-driven survey and outcomes through quality measures. And the current 5-star system, because of the wide variance in survey timelines, survey enforcement, just we took over a building just in the last 6 months that hadn't had a survey in 5 years. So, I mean, I'm glad they're a 4-star facility, but how could I say they're a 4-star facility if no one surveyed them in 5 years? So I think we want to be consistent and fair to one another.
Well, thank you so much, Bernie, for a great conversation and some great insight for the year ahead. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity and all the coverage that Skilled Nursing News does for this profession. We really appreciate it.
That does it for this episode of Rethink. As a reminder, Skilled Nursing News 2025 Rethink Conference will take place between August 18th and 20th in Chicago. Visit skillednursingnews.com/snn-live-event/rethink to find out more. Until next time, thanks for listening.